True manhood is imperial. It does not need the rite of coronation, for it is crowned already. Its majesty is supreme in all the lands, all ages, all worlds. This quote is from the book Royal Manhood by James Isaac Vance. The opening line is amazing. Do you believe that as a man you reign already? Or are you looking for somebody to hold a party and coronate you and give you that title? Are you looking for it from the world? Or do you believe that every man is already a king? The question is he reigning well? If you're single, you are required to rule over yourself, body, soul, and spirit. And I know that some of you out there that listen to this podcast, you've told me you're not a Christian, but you like it and you're willing to listen to it. It doesn't matter if you are bending the knee to Christ. You will answer at some point, because the very fabric of our being, the created order, all is in submission to Him. Our Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, the only perfect man, reigns now and forever. He doesn't need you to say a prayer and invite Him into your heart. He's coming in, if that be His will. What I'm here to talk to you today is, are you reigning in your life? Are you holding your own, like J.R.R. Tolkien says in the Silmarillion, or is your title vain? If you're married, you have a queen that needs your leadership, love, and protection. If you have kids, you have to rule in such a way that your sons arrive at adulthood ready to rule the next generation. And your daughters don't want to be kings because they've watched how you treated their mother, and they view that finding a man like you to be a king to them is their highest calling, that they want to be queens. In our current culture, we don't like to be ruled. We have a problem with authority, and I think that's in a large way because so few people in our era have ever come into contact with royal men. Men that rule well. Men that understand where they have messed up, where they need to do better, but have also committed their lives to doing it well. Jim Collins talks about 5 levels of leadership, and I want to take you quickly through this. So level 1, you are a ruler, or you have authority and leadership based on title alone. And if I can be honest with you here on this podcast, I think I have been. The reason we're in this mess today is because a lot of men rule at a level 1 capacity. They want their wives to respect them because I am a man in title and position, so respect me, honor me, when they have not done the work to do anything else besides I just have that position. And their children are not listening to them. They have no gravitas. They have no ability to reign in their home because it's just based on position. I'm the dad. I'm the husband. I'm the man in position, in title, and that's it. the way that I reign and rule in my home is not in any way indicative of respect and honor. You take that all the way up. I'll link this short clip in the bio if you want to hear it much more eloquently than I will likely read it to you. But Jim Collins says the X factor of truly great leadership is humility. Humility combined with a ferocious will for something bigger than yourself. Humility in a very special way. I want to be very clear. This is Jim Collins speaking. These people are ambitious. They have tremendous energy. They are often exhausting. They never want to stop. They're utterly relentless. They have all that, but here's the difference, see? For a five, level five leader, versus a four. So for a four, all that energy and ambition and drive is about them. It's about what they can get. It's about how they look. It's about what they make. It's about what accrues to them. It's about whether they are the center. That's a four. Fives, all that same level of energy and drive and ambition is channeled outward into a cause, into a company, into a culture, into a quest, into something that is bigger and more enduring than they are. Level fives lead in a spirit of service, and they subsume themselves and sacrifice for that. End quote. If you rule based on the world's definition of leadership, you can get all the way to level four of five. And there are even non-believers that achieve level five leadership. Jim Collins' work is primarily in the area of business. But I will say that you don't get to be a level five leader in your home, in a level five leadership in your community, and in your businesses, and all areas of life without Jesus Christ. You don't get to be a pinnacle. And all these guys like Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and all these people that have fabulous amounts of wealth, but have been married multiple times, cheated on their wives, lost relationships with their younger kids. Because the ones that know them best, the ones they're closest to, the ones that no one else can rule over and protect and provide and raise but them. They're your children. It's your wife. You can't delegate that to someone else. They fail that. And in my mind, in the way from where I sit, they go and hide out at SpaceX. They go and hide out at Twitter. They go and hide out at Amazon because they can't rule over a large portion of their life. And they can't understand the hierarchy, God's hierarchy, and what things matter eternally. The building a great company that enables a lot of people to make money and provides value to the world, this world, is still smaller, infinitely small, compared to the eternal value of God's kingdom, of the new heavens and the new earth. And that's why Christians need to step up their game from where I sit. We go to Micah 6:8. O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. With the world, it's about greed and fear, and even it can be about something bigger than themselves, the level five leaders we see in business, but they're still missing it in the ways that only Christians can achieve. For a Christian, it's about calling, not just the greed and the money. We want to be just, have mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And how are we able to walk humbly with our God? Because we understand the kingdom that we serve. We understand that we as men, every man of us, has been forgiven a great debt. We see in Matthew 18, starting verse 21, kind of going all the way through verse 35, that the kingdom of God can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. And the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience on me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him all his debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him, and he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." And he refused, and he went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. And his fellow servants saw this and what had taken place. They were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Does that mean that we don't make clients pay their bill? No. Does that mean this thing? But is our entire mentality such that we have been forgiven a great debt we can never pay? That's how we rule. Loving mercy, doing justly, walking humbly with our God, because we understand where we are in that economy, in that hierarchy. And that's what enables us to rule in ways that the world can't. And in that vein, in that ability to rule, that's why I'm doing a Kingmaker event last weekend of January at my mansion in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And I'm inviting 10 men to join me as I sit down with two men that I've identified as being kings in many areas of their life, ruling well, loving justice, mercy, and walking humbly with their God. I see their capacity. Now, I'm no slouch, y'all. I'm getting a lot done. And the reason I'm getting a lot done is because I am not afraid, and I believe the debt I've been forgiven, and I have a calling and a purpose that the Lord has given me as a husband and father, as a member of my community, as a businessman, and I am trying in this podcast to relate that to you, to lay that out in a way that you understand and you see in a transparent way, in a way that's not being done by anybody in the world that doesn't have the gospel, and on a trajectory, on a calling. And I've identified two men. They are Chris Wiley and John Moody, and both of them have been guests on the podcast. I'll link that here, and I would suggest you go back and listen to those. That are, to use the cultural vernacular, killing it. They are free men. Chris Wiley has a real estate portfolio. He's written numerous books that are, he's earning royalties. He's marrying off his last child, his daughter, I think this weekend. Just talked to him. He is speaking and he's traveling. He has grandchildren. His grown sons are excelling in business and are also helping build, and from a media and a content perspective, his son's producing his podcast, the Theology Podcast. They're producing conferences in conjunction with their church. I know the elders and members of the church that are killing it in business, that are growing their capacity, tremendous amount of wealth and experience and expertise going on within that church. And I know I have a lot to learn from somebody like Chris, even though I've had the opportunity to spend many days with him. He came to my initial event, my inaugural event last May, sat around the fire. We discussed how to be effective men, how to rule well. That's why I've invited him to come back to Kingmakers in January. The link's on the podcast notes, and I want you to go check it out. The other guy that's coming is John Moody. Those of you that follow me on Instagram, was at Rogue Food Conference, hung out with John, with Congressman Tom Massey, with Joel Salatin, numerous other people that are at the cutting edge of freedom and ruling well. And these guys are performing at high levels with strategic international impact in so many ways. Got to sit with Joel Salatin around the fire and hear him talk about how he's met with the now King of England back when he was a prince three different times. How being a farmer from Virginia in killing it equals not standing before obscure men, but standing before kings and impacting agriculture from the top down because of an expertise, because of growing and understanding and actually submitting yourself to the way that God's order set. So I've got John Moody, C.R. Wiley, coming out to my mansion in January, and we are going to sit and discuss how we rule well. And I'm going to get to talk with these men, and I'm going to have you there, and we're going to curate a discussion that in my mind can't be achieved anywhere else. This is not something that you can get from YouTube. The guys that came, the 15 guys that were out at the ranch in South Dakota in May when we sat around the fire and we discussed things, even the fact that we presented and we had talks for probably 3 or 4 hours, but that time of fellowship with other men that are performing. These guys aren't slouches. These are guys that are already executing at a high level. When we get together in one room, we talk about it and how we're actually winning the war against sin in our own lives and protecting our children, our wives from the sin and the serpent, the dragon that is going about, and how we're able to make marginal gains physically, mentally, spiritually, that reap a yield compounding for generations. And quite frankly, who we hang out with, who we are around, who we are able to be mentored by is the single most important thing that we do in our life, the people we spend time with. I'm offering that up to 10 of you to come along on this experience. Also, it's not just going to be sitting around talking. We talked about that in my Anthony Esselin episode, how men used to get together and build things and do things, and that's missing as well. So we're actually going to do some stuff. We're going to go out to my farm, and we're going to shoot. We're going to shoot guns. I haven't quite finalized it yet, so I'm not saying who it is, but this guy's world-class marksmanship instructor, and we're going to do basic pistol marksmanship. We're going to understand, and it's not going to be the sexy Keanu Reeves, John Wick, taking down the mobsters kind of thing. We're going to talk about being masters of the basics in pistol. We're going to learn, and it probably is going to be a four-hour block of instruction that is unparalleled in the principled approach and the understanding of how to incrementally get better at a particular skill set in war, in a sense, a physical war tool from those of us that have employed it on the battlefield. And then we're going to take that, and we're going to do a CQB, a close quarters battle demonstration and exercise, where you get to see how much for somebody like me, I had to do, I think, 3 weeks of dry firing my pistol at the training course that I had to go through at Bragg to get my job here before I was allowed to shoot a single round. 3 weeks. I was getting arthritis in my hands before I was even shooting a live round. And the work and the reps that need to be done there to get to that mastery level with the pistol. I'm going to talk about that progression. We're going to go through that. We're going to experience it. We're going to give you the building blocks and the ability to now go with that knowledge and that framework to go and build in your life. And that's going to become the backdrop, the vignette, the practical exercise that feeds the rest of our weekend together to understand what the reps that you need to be doing as a man And this is not going to be an elementary level. This is going to be at a high level understanding of getting things done, leading your wife and your children. John Moody is at this conference. He's got his 15-year-old son, who I've posted some stuff, is a second-degree brown belt in judo. John has a brown belt in judo. They're practicing martial virtues, and they're carrying themselves well. They're in shape. They're ruling over their bodies. So I get to be here and watch John and his 15-year-old son, but then his 16-year-old daughter running this conference together as a family, and his daughter loves him and is coming alongside and putting her arm around him, laying her head on his shoulder, and they are executing what for some people may be extremely stressful. 200-plus attendees, multiple speakers, catering and thriving and loving it and enjoying it as a family. So killing it in business, but not having lost his children's souls doing it. If you can come to this event and you can hang out with John Moody, you can ask that question, you can just learn a few nuggets about how to shepherd your daughters well. Some of us masculine guys can just really understand how to do that and with our boys and make them tough and, you know, suck it up and, you know, all those things. But how do, as a king, I got to also be able to rule my daughters in my home well. And I need to be able to have empathy towards them, and I need to understand that there's also quality time required there. So we're going to get to talk with John Moody about that. And C.R. Wiley's got two sons and a daughter, and his wife is thriving, and we've talked about that. Like I said, listen to these episodes with these two men, what they're doing, and then just think about what it'd be like to just have a small group of men asking these pointed questions, walking through this tactically, understanding how do we rule well and do this as men. I don't know about you, but one of the things that drives me nuts about going to large conferences and stuff and the questions and answers is that you end up having thousands of people or 500 people or whatever, and they're trying to hack the system. They're trying to see how they can make these gains. And that, you know, from entrepreneurial perspective, like how do I avoid risk, and how do I de-risk this so much that I quit my day job and I figure this all out? And it's driving me nuts. Where I sit, you can't not afford to come be in this room as a man, no matter where you are. High performer, mid-level performer starting out on this journey, you need to be in this room. It's going to take years off of your life spiritually, mentally, and physically. It's going to give you tools. We're going to work out. We're going to do guns. We're going to do these things. It's going to be real practical man skills, and then that's going to form the conversation for the philosophy and the theology of being a man. And it's going to give us something to draw back on and contextualize in a way that's not being done by anybody else. You're going to go back to your community. You're going to be armed with practical knowledge and frameworks from these men that are actual practitioners, actual kings in their life. And you're going to subdue the area within your dominion as a king, ruling well, holding your own as a result of time here in a better way. And there's going to be some continued connection with these guys. The group text from that weekend back in May is still going on. The networking is unparalleled. The continued learning from each other and the building, and that can't be done. If you've been on a group text with 25, 30 people, I'm on some of those, man. It's like 123 texts every time I open it. It's ridiculous. You can't keep up. It's garbage. It's just getting passed around. This is going to be 10 guys getting it done, having emotional intelligence, understanding to be able to have the questions and figure out how to make these gains that will last for generations, and ruling well, walking justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with our God. I hope to see you there. Those of you that can't quite make it to something like that, I'm going to keep giving you guys a podcast. I'm going to keep ruling well where I am. I'm going to keep continuing to grow my businesses and give you as much as I can via the audio waves, and continue to figure out how I can help you realize your calling, help you make progress in your business physically, spiritually, as I continue to learn from men like this, as I continue to get coached by the best people in the business. I'm going to keep doing that for y'all. As always, if you got any value out of this podcast, share it with a friend. We have to start ruling now. We have to start making the changes. We have to start doing the work humbly before our God for his glory, both now and forever. Have a good one.